This week's parsha, we have the well-known story of Mechirat Yosef. And when we learn the sequence of events that lead up to the Mechirat, the disagreements amongst the brothers, the jealousy, the hatred, the prophet said, "Vayikanu boy echov, vayisnu oisoi," we tend to learn the parsha and look at it from our own perspective, as if it were any machlokes, like any machlokes with its bad character traits of kinah and sinah. Truth is, looking at Chazal, you can see this is no ordinary group of brothers. The Medrash Tanchuma says, this week said, Nevi'im gedolim hayu hashvotim. Nevi'im gedolim. And as the Talmud writes, he says, Ilav tzadikim gemurim hayu. Had they not been tzadikim gemurim, loy hayu shemoysom al hachoshen lifnei Hashem lezikoren. Their names wouldn't have been chosen to be inscribed on the choshen which came lifnei Hashem lezikoren. And there's a beautiful medrash, Tamid Barabba, where the medrash says, Afal pi she'ira lishvotim shebo liyedea mechirat Yosef. Even though the mechirat Yosef came about through the brothers, Atal tova, you may think, says the medrash, shelo hayabo liyodom oisai hamaisa ele im kem hayurushoyim b'maisam acherim. This story could not come about through them had they not been Rishoyim the Maisim Acherim. Loi, says the Medrash, Elo Tzadikim Gemurim Hayu, V'loi Bo Le'yodom Chet Me'oyom Elohu. Fascinating lotion of a Medrash. Loi Bo Le'yodom, when we talk about the Shiftei Kor, Loi Bo Le'yodom Chet Me'oyom Elohu. Throughout their lives, the Medrash testifies they never sinned. Elohu, this was the only Aveira, the Mechirat Yosef, and if you medayek the loss of the Medrash, it says chet. Even the Aveira wasn't an ovoin, it was a chet, it was like a shoge, it had the beginning of a mistake, chet, a shoge. So clearly, we cannot learn this whole episode superficially. I'd like Yadav Yishmaiah, we can have this look through the parsha, see the medoshim, the chazal, and the poshim, perhaps understand the parsha a bit deeper. We start off with the sinah, by yisnu oisai. There's a loisach say in the Torah, the sinah etochicha rochecha. A loisach say, which is counted in the minyan mitzvahs, is an issa, a loisach say to hate a fellow yid. How would the Shvatim allow? How did the Shvatim allow themselves to hate you? By Yisnu Oisai. The answer has to be Apir Gemara in Sochim Kuf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara says, "Besitna Techicha V'Ravecha." Generally, there are no compromises. There are no hesed to hate the fellow you need. There's one exception, says the Gemara. One exception to the rule. Mitzvah lisnoi et harishoyim. There's a mitzvah to hate rishoyim. Diksiv mitanecho Hashem esna u'mitzvetetecho eskoit. You're allowed to hate the Rosh. You're not allowed to hate the Rosh. There's a mitzvah to hate the Rosh. There was a definite misunderstanding between Yosef and the brothers. In the minds of the brothers, they view certain actions, certain behavior of Yosef as if he were a Rosha. And two of those actions are actually listed in the Torah at the beginning of the Sedra. The first one is the Hu Nar Es B'nei Bila. Rashi says, Hu Nar Es B'nei Bila. Oise Ma'afe Naru. Mesakin Besaro. He fixed his hair. Mamashmash Be'enoi. He groomed his eyes. Kadeshet Hei Nirei Yofer. He was too busy with his outer appearance. And that behavior was alien to the brothers. And when they saw that, They felt there was something wrong with Yosef. He was a Rasha perhaps. And then worse, he was constantly bringing evil reports to Yaakov, Lashon Hara. The sinner, the hatred over here wasn't so much a personal hatred. It didn't disturb him so much the fact that Yosef was bringing Lashon Hara. It was the Avera of Lashon Hara. When it, in their eyes, they viewed his actions as being a Rasha. A Rasha, not only is there a Heter to it's a mitzvah to hate a Rasha. And that's why that's the pshat in the Vayisno Oysa. The Vayisno Oysa wasn't a sinner, a personal machlokes. It was a sinner Torah, sinner to Rasha. How do we understand Yosef HaTzadik? The blade tzaddik in the state of Bayev Yosef says a very interesting shot. It says that the derech of the tzaddik is that in those areas that they excel themselves, they try and hide their mitzvah. And he writes there that Yosef's middah was middah hayesoid, which is the middah of kedusha. As we know with the story of the Eishes Potiphar, Yosef was the epitome of Kedusha, of Prishus. And Tzadikim tried to be master, hide their achievements. And therefore Yosef was doing things which were the absolute opposite of his Kedusha. He was doing Maisim to show the world, Ke'ilu, I, to be master, his Pnimis, to hide his inner Milus. And that's how his Mustafa was Sarim, Sakineno. Reb Dessler Mitzvah Melio writes, this in Shat, he says that Yosef's cheshbon was that he saw in his dreams he'd be a melech, but he felt he had to be misnayed by Malchus. The melech has to take care of his outer appearance, and that was his cheshbon of being misnayed and disarrowed. The Akhirion, the Shlomo Gansky, the Tzitzit Shulchan Aruch, Nisayf al-Toyah, writes another Shat. He says that we find in the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham has to take extra care Zohir bin Akiyas Yisera of his appearance. The Gemara says, Tamachochem Shesh Leir Zav, who thinks that Tamachochem has fat or a stain on his clothes of Chayav Misa, because he's Mechalel et Hashem. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Osel et Tamachochem, Lotse bin Metaloi, the Godin, that Tamachochem often go out with patches on his clothes, on his shoes, in Metaloi and Menolim. And Yosef, because he was learning Torah all day with Yaakov, he was in Mekabal Torah from Yaakov, he felt he was the b'chinas tamid chacham, and therefore he had to be extra zohir with his appearance. And it was of course clearly the Shem Shemayim misunderstood by the brothers. Then Sipona writes, Uhunar, it was a mistake. He was youthful. He hadn't been through life with his experience to understand that you have to think ahead. You do something which people are going to misunderstand and create risks and machloikas, but who now is Bnei Bila, he should have seen that with all the kavon in the Shem Shemayim, and he was definitely a machav in the Shem Shemayim with a cheshbon, but those pa'ula, those actions created the machloikas for him and the brothers. All he's doing constantly bringing evil reports about his brother, his father. Lashon Hara. It's a chum of Lashon Hara. It's about tzaddik. Can we understand it on a simple level? The Al-Sheikh writes, the Al-Sheikh says that Yosef had one motive. That he watched the brothers, and he saw certain pu'ulas which were, in his eyes, needed to chocha. They had to be rebuked. And he knew that his musa would not be accepted. Firstly, he was the Irei HaShvatim, the youngest of the Shvatim. Second of all, he knew that his brothers didn't put his faith in him. And therefore, he was torn. On one hand, he had the mitzvah techeach techeach. On the other hand, Chazal tell us, k'shem shemitzvah loy nadova ha-nishma, kach mitzvah sheloy loy nadova she'ene nishma. Sometimes it's not a mitzvah to give rebuke. But he felt responsibility, and therefore he went to his father, to their father. And the pasuk says, "By Yoveh Dibosom El Ovid El Avihem." By Yoveh Dibosom El Avihem. Says the Alshichon. Doesn't say By Yoveh Dibosom El Ovid. He didn't bring the Lashon Hara to his father to impress his father. El Avihem to their father. In his role as their father, he was responsible to be mechiach them. By Yoveh Dibosom El Avihem, there was a kavon el Hashem Shemayim b'Torah Techochos mimekan mitzvah techiach techiach. We move on to the dreams, the halonos. And here the Arachayim HaKadosh asked the question, what was Yosef doing revealing the halonos to his brother? Didn't he know that it would inflame the hatred? See, Taka, as he told him the first dream, and then the second dream, by Yosifu oi tenoyosoi, just intensify the hatred. He was antagonizing them. He was creating a mishal, he was creating a sinner. What was he doing revealing the dreams, the first dream and the second dream? How was he allowed to do that, Arachayim? And he explained that halonos, even though roiv halonos are devour in the tailing, there are dreams which are the chinach nevuah. Actually written in the Kuzari 700 years earlier. Kuzari writes, very interesting, he says there are quite a few halomas that have in it nevuah, and he explains a person goes to sleep and the nefesh separates itself from the guf. At that time the nefesh can have revelations, marios, divine revelations, which he can't have while he's awake, and those are the Bechinah's prophecies, Nevuah. And he says that he gives right to the Kuzari there's certain ways to know whether Chaloim is a Chaloim or Nevuah. One example he gives, Al Hishonoi Tachaloim, if a Chaloim repeats itself constantly, then you know that it's not just a normal Chaloim, it's got a Perach Nevuah to it. Or the Kuzari writes, if you have a Chaloim which has such clarity to it, and if you were seeing it in daytime, the hokit, you feel that you're awake and as if it's actually happening, then it's the b'chinas chaloyim, the b'chinas mevuah. Rachaim HaKadosh writes over here that in Yosef related the dream, it says b'chinei, the word b'chinei three times. B'chinei means and behold. He said there was such clarity to those dreams, he felt as if he was seeing it, the hokit. He was convinced that those dreams were the Bechinat Nevuah. The halacha is that a Navi may not conceal a Nevuah. Also, the Navi lichboish Nevuah. A Navi is mechuyev, obligated to reveal the Nevuah he receives. It says, Arachayim, Yosef would have loved to keep those halaymas to himself. He knew what trouble those halaymas would cause. But he was obligated with mechuyev al tidin as a Navi to relate those nevuahs, the first nevuah and then the second nevuah. The brothers ridicule the nevuah because of their negative viewpoint of Yosef, viewed them as mere chalomim. But the pasuk writes about Yaakov, but Oviv shomar et adova, says Rashi. Mamtin umetzapeh motayovoi. Yaakov was waiting when those dreams would be fulfilled. He understood those weren't just dreams. And the Medrash says, not al kulnosoi v'kosav al pinkosei. He took a pen and he wrote in his book all the details of the dream. He was waiting for it to be fulfilled. The Tzadik HaKoyin in his Sefer Machshev Etzchorot says that the Gemara and the Brochot says that most halomos are bosa hayoim. What the thoughts during the day, or the repetitive thoughts one has during the day, those are the halomas at night. So he writes there that the brothers, their negative attitude towards Yosef, they understood these dreams must be his thoughts of the day. Hamosha Tim Shabon, you must be thinking throughout the day just how to rule over us, how to be supreme over the brothers. And that's why they said, I see folks know so. Yaakov Avinu knew better. He knew what Yosef's thoughts were throughout the day. He was sitting learning Torah, Chazal say, with Yosef. He knew those dreams weren't just halaymas, they were nevuah. But Aviv shama at Adavah. Then we come to the jealousy. Kinah. Kinah is one of the worst midas ra, if it's fine right. Kinah is a terrible midas ra. Like, kana vayachov. How could the brothers love the fullness of the misera of jealousy? The answer is, even though jealousy is a misera, there's one kina which is allowed and is in fact encouraged by Chazal, and that is kina sofrin ha'arufach. The Beis HaLevi points out there's a difference between the first dream and the second dream. The first dream was in Yonei Gashmiyum, was more earthly matters. The Almim, Alumim, the Hasode, they were binding sheaves in the field. Was in Yonei Artiyim, Gashmiyum, stick a dream. Second dream was Shemesh, Yoreach, Kechovim, more in Yonei Ruchniyim, Shamayim. There's the Beis HaLevi, you'll notice. After the first dream, there's no mention of kina, just sinna, ayisna. Hatred, you're trying to rule over us materialistically, you're trying to show us you're better than us, ayisna ayisna. The second dream, when Yosef was trying to give a message, I'm better than you in ruchnias, that was kina. Kina, sotan, tada, chokhma. They knew that Yaakov was giving over most of the Torah, he learned to tremble, Avi was giving over to Yosef. And that sinner, that jealousy was kinat soifrim. They wanted to have those ruchnias dekanailas, and they felt that Yosef wasn't worthy. Yosef should have been driven out of the house, just like Yishmael was driven out of the house by Avraham Avinu. He was a rasha, and that was the vayikanu by the kinat soifrim tava chochma. We come to the mechira. This is one of the most perplexing events in the Torah. And they conspired to kill Yosef. How low can brothers fall to want to kill Yosef? Ponu writes that this decision to kill Yosef was a decision which was made by the nine brothers sitting together after tremendous cheshbon and thought until they arrived to Apsak Din. It was Apsak Torah that he was Mechoyev Misa. And he proves it from the fact that the Pasuk says that immediately after they decided to kill Yosef, the Pasuk says, Vayeshvu lechoy lechem. They sat down to have a meal. He says, how could they have such a clear conscience to comfortably sit down immediately after the decision and eat the meal? That can only be, says the Sipanu, when a sack is arrived at Pitola. They held up his dinner with Mechuyev Misa. And he points out that even later on, when they said the famous words, Avol Hashemim Anachnu Alochinu, they said, we are guilty about our brother. Asheroinu B'tzoras Nafsha, we saw his pain, B'tzchanin Oyolein, when he pleaded. Says the Sipanu, there's no remorse or regret about the actual mechila. They didn't say they were upset they sold him. They just condemned themselves for their hard-heartedness. We should have been more sensitive and felt the pain. Asheimen anachnu, asheru'inu b'tzoras nafshay b'yitzchanu. We saw the pain and we didn't feel for it. But the actual mechila, says the Sipanu, they were confident that was a tzaka pitoya. Why was he Chayav Misa? What did he do to be Mechuyav Misa? What made him arrive at the sack of Chayav Misa? We find in the Mephoshim several Pshatim. The Zipanu himself writes that he was Mechuyav Misa as a Roidek. Because Yosef was constantly bringing these Bosom Ra, the evil reports to Yaakov, they were concerned that Yaakov would curse them. And if Yaakov would curse them, they knew a klal of Yaakov would mean death or terrible suffering. And they paskund, he had a din of a roidus, and he was chayav misa. The Shlach HaKadosh said the Chiyuv Misa came because he was a Moirid from Malchus. In their view, Yehuda was the Melech. He was giving messages as if he deserved to be Melech, and therefore he was Moirid from Malchus, he was a Chiyuv Misa. Rachayim HaKadosh says his Chiyuv Misa was as an aid Zoymon. Halacha is a Ben Noach can be killed, the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin, Ben Noach can be killed up here, Eidachot, without Hasra, and even if the aid is a Koroi. But because he was giving his report as aidus to Yaakov, he had a dinner of aid Zoymon, Ben Noach can be killed, even up here, Koroi, up here, Eidachot, aid Zoymon is Chiyuv Misa. Pirkei Torah says, his Chiyuv Misa was as a Novi Hasheker. Because he was giving over his dreams to Teras Nevuah, and they viewed him as a Novi Hasheker, he was Chiyuv Misa as a Novi Hasheker. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Sefer Emes LeYaakov, says the Gemara says in Yuma that the Choshen HaMishpot, which the Kohen Gadol carries, the Gemara says the function, or one of the functions of the Choshen HaMishpot, was to be Mechaper al Ivus Hadin. If there was ever in Klal Yisrael, through the Bati Dinim of Klal Yisrael, if a judge ever erred, if a dayan ever erred in his din, the Choshen HaMishpot had the power to be Mechaper al Ivus Hadin. The Yaakov, if the 12 names of the Shvatim were inscribed on that Choshen, which was Mechaper al Ivus Hadin, it must be that their din, their psak, which they came to kill Yosef, must have been a din which was right up Yehoshua Mishpat, out of their name couldn't have been utilized in Mechata Alibus HaDin. The question which I had for many years, and this is this year, Baruch Hashem, but for this year, I found the answer. For many years, I could never understand that according to all these Mephoshim, that Yosef was Chayv Misa, and it was a psak which they arrived al pi cheshbon al pi Torah, then how could they change that psak, change their mind and sell him? Suddenly they see Ochat Yishmael passing, okay, let's take him out of the pit and sell him. If you're Chayv Misa, you're Chayv Misa. How can you compromise in a psak Torah? The Ohr Gedal Yorah found this year says a beautiful chap, Gedal Yishov Yechassan Levrocha. He says there were 9 people sitting there that sucked in. And they were Mitzaruf at number 10, Kabayochol HaKadosh, the Shechina. Number 10 was the Shechina. So this suck which they reached was the suck B'dinei Shamayim, not B'dinei Adam. A Chiyuv Misa B'dinei Shemayim. So in B'dinei Shemayim we find there's a Dino Kashio and a Dino Rafio. There's a severe sin and a weaker sin. That means you can do the same Aveira and be punished, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decide to have a Dino Kashio or a Dino Rafio. Had the Psak been Chiyuv Misa B'dinei Adam, there wouldn't have been any change of heart, there wouldn't have been any compromise, he would have had to be killed. But because the Psak was Siruch HaShchina, Dino Shamayim, therefore when they found an opportunity to be Mekayim the Din with a Dino Rafia and sell him as a slave, they could change the Psak. And he points out there, he says, the very fact that the brothers were prepared to change the Psak, that proves that it wasn't a Psak out of personal hatred. Had there been a personal vendetta to fight for Yosef, then they would have insisted that they kill him. The very fact that they were prepared to make their din a lighter sentence proves that this was a psak of Pitoyah which they had to carry out. This sheds light on the Seder a bit, just to understand that Shiftei Kol Yisrael Eitos, the prophet says to Hidim, their cheshbonos were kuloi, each side, the two sides of the machlekes were kuloi Hashem Shamayim. I could just finish off with the beautiful Meshach Chochma in Parashat Zachari Moi brings the tefillah that we daven in Yom Kippur, ki ato solchon li Yisrael u'mochalon l'shifte yishurim after hachatzimah habrocha tefillat Yom HaKippurim. And Meshech Chochma says we don't find in any other tefillah a mention of Shvotim. U'mochalon l'shifte yishurim is the only tefillah where we talk about the Shvotim. And he explains that after the Chet HaEgel, Pasuk says, Pokoi Pokadisi. Any Aveira that takes place through the generations, say Chazal, the Shoresh comes from the Aveira of Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel, the Klalos were brought down in the Madrega, in Emuna. Every Aveira has in it a Nitzkus, a Bechina, a Mashu of Chet HaEgel. And every punishment that we deserve, Chas V'Shalom, there's a slight punishment added for the Chet HaEgel. Pokoi Pokadisi. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's for Averis in Odom Lamokim. Chet HaEgel is Averis in Odom Lamokim. Averis in Odom Lachaveroi, their Shoyrish was the Machloikis between the brothers. And he says, any Averis, the Machloikis in Odom Lachaveroi, the Roshim comes from that Machloikis. And any Onish Chashu Shalom contains in it an Onish for the Mechirat Yoyt. Ki Ato Solchon Yisrael. Because you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive Klal Yisrael for the Averis ben Adam Lamokoi, U'mocholon l'shifte Yishurun, and for the Averis ben Adam Lachaveiro, you forgive us, and when you forgive us, you also have to forgive the Shoresh of the Machlekes, of our Machlekes, which is Shifte Yishurun. And Chana Vassaman in Kovitz Ma'amorim takes us a step further. He says, throughout the generations, there have always been blood libels. Terrible blood libels against Klal Yisrael. He says, you think about it, the blood libels were kulo sheker. There was no emes to it. And usually sheker ain lo aglayim. How did the blood libels manage to last so many years? Didn't people see through the blood libels? And it reared ahead, it's heard each generation again and again. Says the Chana Vassaman, that we find by the Mechiras Yosef, by Yitbalu es ketsoines ba'adom, they dipped the ketsoines in blood. He says, whenever there's a period in Klal Yisrael is the Machlokes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets reminded of the Shoresh of all Machlokes, the Machlokes between the brothers, by Yitzpalu Ksoinus Badom, and that's where the blood libels come from. He says, the only way to stop anti-Semitism and Machlokes and Kitzchuk against Klal Yisrael is when Klal Yisrael are Ma'achet, when Klal Yisrael unite, then at the Tikkun for the Shoresh of Machlokes, that's the brotherly Machlokes between the Shvatim, and that stops blood libels and stops anti-Semitism. When the Medrash says, Lechotu Ma'oilam Elohu, the Shvatim never sinned throughout their lives. Nevi'im Gedoinim, we may never drop our perspective when we read this parsha of the Shvatim and Chas V'Shalom view them with our own eyes. These were Nevi'im Gedoinim, Lechotu Chet Me'oilam, and all their actions in Kavanah were clearly L'Shem Shamayim. But there was a slight chet. Had they looked at Yosef Ba'ayin Toivah, had they been done in the Kavchus, then the whole Machlokes wouldn't have come about. Baruch Hu should help us. Life is full with dealing with people socially, sometimes hard to avoid conflict. But if we utilize the koyach of Ayin Toivah, Don Kavchus, then that allows us to overlook things, and that the tikkun from the Chiyus Yosef will bring about the Gula Shleim and Heirah Yemein.